Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Well, Easter Sunday is a day that is beyond joyful, beyond celebratory, beyond victorious. It is the highest and most holy day of our year. For the Christian, it is that singular day in all of human history that defines our eternal future. A future of forgiveness, not sin. A future of joy, not sadness. A future of life, not death. As we will sing later in this service, I know my Redeemer lives. And as Jesus himself said, because I live, you also will live. But let us not forget that this good news, which broke over the horizon like sunlight on that first Easter dawn, was not so quickly understood by those involved. In fact, in our gospel reading today, Mark shares with us what it was like for those women who first heard the good news. And for them, one might say, it was a roller coaster of emotions. These three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, were the same three women who were mentioned as part of the small group of people who stayed there at the foot of the cross, who witnessed Jesus' death on Friday. They then watched as the body of Jesus was laid in the tomb. And as soon as they could, as soon as the Sabbath, the day of Sabbath rest was over, they went to buy spices to anoint his body. Now, people in those days were very familiar with dealing with death. In the ancient world, many people died young. The average life expectancy wasn't really much more than 40 years of age. What's more, there were no funeral homes or licensed morticians to take care of those who died. Family members and friends were the ones who prepared bodies for burial. As sad and difficult as death still was for them to deal with, it was an all too familiar presence in their life. Yet as familiar as death would have been for them, this one was different. Jesus' death was different. His death would have been particularly crushing for them. Think about all they had witnessed, all they had gone through with Jesus over the previous 3 years. These women were among his most devoted followers, resting all their hopes, all their dreams in him, only to see it all come crashing down in those tragic events of Good Friday. Perhaps going through a familiar routine like a burial was actually comforting to them, because they didn't know what else to do. It was better to do something rather than nothing. Mark tells us that as soon as the sun rose, they went to the tomb, spices in hand. But as they went, a troubling question came to their mind. Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? They had forgotten this crucial detail in their grief-stricken preparations. But they must have been near enough to the tomb that they looked up immediately, and then they saw something that was even more troubling. The stone had already been rolled away. What did this mean? Had Jesus' body been moved? Was it stolen? Were his enemies trying to humiliate him even further? And that's when they met a young man, an angel, clad in white. Their troubled minds were now raised to alarm status. But he said, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but then go. Tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." And Mark tells us that the women ran. They were trembling. They were astonished. They said nothing to anyone, at least at first, because they were so full of fear. Now, it seems interesting, doesn't it, that Mark leaves the account of the resurrection at this point, with the women panic-stricken and unsure what to do? We'll come back to them. But what the gospel writer Mark is highlighting here is the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to them. Multiple times, Jesus told them, after 3 days, I will rise. And that's why the angel says to the women, you will see him just as he told you. And since the women hadn't seen Jesus for themselves yet, they were still trying to make sense of everything they had just witnessed, leaving them with the questions, can this really be true? Is Jesus victorious? Can I trust what he says? Those same questions come to us today as we hear the Easter history once again. Can this really be true? Is Jesus victorious? Can I trust what he says? And our answer to those questions depend on the truth of what really happened on that first Good Friday and Easter Sunday. After all, the women had trouble believing Jesus' words because they had watched, so they thought, Jesus defeated. They had watched as he was killed on the cross and then buried. And defeated people can't pull through and win the victory, even if they promise it. Dead people cannot be alive, and therefore they cannot promise life to others. They knew what Jesus had promised, but they did not yet trust it. And so it led to their fearful reaction as they fled from the tomb. Fans of history, particularly European history, will recall that the most decisive battle of the Napoleonic Wars was the Battle of Waterloo. On June 18, 1815, titans clashed as the armies of Napoleon Bonaparte met the Allied armies under the command of the British Duke of Wellington. They fought in a small area on the road just south of Brussels in modern-day Belgium. It was a win-all, lose-all scenario, and everyone involved knew the stakes. As the battle played out, the British-led forces, aided by the Prussians, were successful in driving back and ultimately defeating Napoleon's army. But in a world without telegram or radio or internet, word of this victory did not immediately spread. Back in England, for instance, people anxiously awaited news on the outcome of the fighting, knowing that everything was hanging in the balance. One story tells of a sailor on a ship that was carrying news back to England as it crossed the English Channel. The ship was approaching the southern coast of England, so the sailor picked up his semaphore flags they use to send out messages one letter at a time, and he began to spell out, Wellington defeated. But then suddenly a dense fog moved in. It swirled over the channel. It engulfed the ship. The sad, heart-wrenching news of the incomplete message was passed on to London, and it swept the nation with gloom and despair. But after long hours of waiting, the fog finally lifted, and again the sailor, same sailor, on the deck of the ship, picked up his flags and continued to signal. He spelled out the complete message this time. Wellington defeated the enemy. Their hearts and the hearts of a nation were uplifted with unexpected joy. When Jesus died on the cross, a thick fog of despair engulfed all those who had placed all their hopes in him. They knew that Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, his encounter with the religious leaders, his trial under the Romans, his battle with sin, death, and the devil at the cross, all reached a fevered pitch, and they watched as Jesus breathed his last. And the message seemed to spell, Jesus defeated. But the message was incomplete. It wouldn't be finished until the third day. And so, with the first rays of the Sunday morning light, that fog of despair lifted and the message was completed when the angel said to the women, he has risen, he is not here. In other words, the message came through loud and clear. Jesus defeated the enemy. The alliance of our enemies, of sin, death, and the devil, stood no chance against Jesus as he emerged, the victorious one. After that, the risen Lord would not wait long to appear to his disciples. He first appeared to the women, and then after the women to Cephas, and then to the 12, and then to more than 500 witnesses of the resurrection, as we heard in our epistle reading today. Now, before they saw him, they may have all been wondering, is this really true? Is Jesus victorious, and can I trust what he says? And the resounding answer that came to them from heaven itself was, yes, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Today in our lives, we also can experience moments with many questions. Questions that do not arise from the trustworthiness of Jesus' words or from his victory on our behalf, but rather questions that come from ourselves, from our own sinful nature, from our enemy, the devil, and from this fallen world. After all, we know the defeat we often face when we try to grapple with sin on our own. The shame or discouragement we feel when we allow the same sins to creep back into our lives time and time again. The pain when the sins of others against us drag us back into a fog of despair. The sorrow we feel in this life when we face the all too familiar presence of death. The devil would have you believe that Jesus' victory does not apply to you, that you are too unforgivable, too lost, too beyond the redeeming love of God. The incomplete message the devil would have you receive is, yes, Jesus may be victorious, but not for you. And so you might be left wondering, is this really true? Is Jesus victorious for me, and can I trust what he says? Because the answers to those questions will shape everything about your life, will shape everything about your eternal life. But the good news that comes to us again today is this, that Jesus' victory over death was indeed specifically for you. When Jesus stepped out of that tomb on that Easter morning, having given himself into death for your sake and for your sin, he did so as the victorious one who would never die again. He rose to show you what your future holds. He completed the message that Jesus is victorious for you. When you feel defeated because of your sins, Jesus assures you of his victory for you. When you feel ashamed that you've fallen into the same sinful traps time and time again, Jesus once again delivers to you his forgiveness. When you endure the pain of others hurting you with their sinful words or actions, Jesus comes alongside and shows you the wounds that he suffered, that he understands your pain, and that he is one who brings you true healing and peace. And when you feel the sorrow of death in this life, Jesus delivers to you the certain hope of eternal life. He is alive. And you will be also. The resurrection, it changes everything. What a difference a day makes. Jesus is the victorious one, and the message, the complete message, is of total victory, and he shares it with you today. No incomplete message, no confusing fog, no misunderstanding, no doubt, no fear. The women ran away in fear from the tomb that day, but eventually they would encounter the risen Christ, whom they could see and touch for themselves, so that they would know without a shadow of a doubt that everything he ever said to them was true and trustworthy. And you and I, we encounter the risen Christ every time we hear his word, every time we receive his forgiveness spoken in absolution, every time we receive his body and blood in his supper. We know without a shadow of a doubt that everything he ever said to us is true and trustworthy, so that our faith may be strengthened. That's why it's important to gather here, not only today, but every day as a family of faith, so that we might be strengthened with him, and with each passing day until the day when we will be raised from the dead as well. We too on that day will reach out and grab his hand and touch his side. We too will see him face to face, our risen Savior, Christ, the victorious one. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In his name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our risen Lord. Amen.